Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Today, I want to talk to you about what do you save when a loved one passes away. Now, this could be your spouse, it could be your parents, or it could be a child. And I'm really not going to talk much about children because I have not dealt much with people who have lost children. And I think that that's a whole different ball of wax. So mostly, I'm going to be talking today about my experience with dealing with clients who have lost their spouses, and my own experience of losing my parents and many of my clients who have lost their parents as well. And what do you save when they pass away? So I'm going to start with a little humorous story because it's going to get deep and I want to start with a little levity. Okay, so when I was 7, my grandmother passed away, my dad's mother. And I remember it was very sad. I wasn't allowed to go to the funeral. I think my parents thought I was too young. I'm the oldest of all the grandchildren on both sides of the family. So everyone kind of took their cue from my parents as to what they did with their children based on what they did with me. So I didn't go to that funeral. And then when I was 13, in the spring of my 8th grade year, I lost one grandfather and two great-grandfathers all within 1 month, and two of them were in the same week. And the grandfather I lost was my father's father. So my father is the oldest of 6 children, and so I'm not sure if he was the executor or not, but he had to be the leader in that situation along with his youngest sister. The two of them kind of took over and settled the estate and did all of those things. And at that time, my dad would have been probably 35, maybe. And so his youngest brother, I think, was 18 or 19. He had just enlisted in the military. Or maybe he was 21. So it was a young family who had lost now the second parent, and so the torch was being handed over to the next generation. And in my father's family, they do tend to die in their 50s and 60s. And my mom's family, 100, we're all gonna be 100. And my dad's grandparents, both, one was 95 or 98, and the other one was 103. So the grandparents lived a long time, but his parents did not live very long. So the humorous part of this story is in 8th grade, we had to do a report, a how-to report. I can't remember what mine was, but in my little class of 50 kids at my little Catholic elementary school, 2 out of 3 of the funeral homes in our area, their oldest boys were in my 8th grade class. And they've gone on to be in the, quote, family business, as they say. So they both run those funeral homes today. But one of them decided to do their how-to report on how to prepare a corpse for burial, which he thought was hilarious. This is the same kid who also, yes, really did stick his tongue to the flagpole in front of our school and get stuck. I mean, like, you can't write this stuff. So I, of course, started crying. Now, you have to know that every year my parents took me out of school in March for a week so we could go to Florida because they didn't want to go over spring break when it was really crowded. So I would miss school for a week to go to Florida. I had good enough grades to do it, and my parents just, that's what they did. And my mom just said the other day that to this day, that's the best decision she ever made, to do our vacations that way. So because I'd been gone for a week in Florida and then I missed a ton of school because my dad's father had died and 2 other grandfathers had died, they totally thought we were lying about people dying so we could go on more vacations. And I was crying because this guy's talking about how to prepare a corpse because I'd been to so many funerals. So anyway, I always think back on that. I think that's quite funny. So then, while I was in high school and college, my great-grandparents passed away, and then there was a long span after I met my husband where there weren't any funerals. But because my family is so large, people pass away, and so I had experienced more funerals than some of my friends had or my husband had. So when my father passed away 6 years ago, while there was a lot to do, I feel really blessed that my sister and I had a whole year to prepare for, my father's passing. And I think that, I haven't experienced it, but I think that if you wake up and somebody's just gone and there's no process to losing someone, I am sure that that is much harder than, you know, us having that final year with my dad. I remember so many times where I was like, I'm going to go up there, or he's called me up there, or I'm going to do this. This is one more memory I have with my dad. And I think that sometimes when it happens overnight, you don't get those extra memories to store in your memory bank, or to be as strategic as I was about the last days I had with my father. Now, with that said, I also know it's super hard when you have somebody who is sick for longer than a year, like our father was, or if the person suffered. My father did not really suffer, and he had such a positive attitude. Or if they're losing their, you know, slowly losing their faculties and dementia. I know the last year with my grandfather was really hard for my grandmother. He died at 102, just a month shy of his 103rd birthday. But he was totally with it until he was 101 and a half. But that last year and a half was really hard for her, and he ended up having to go into an Alzheimer's unit for, I think, about 6 or 8 months, which was very expensive and very hard when she went to see him, and he eventually did not recognize her anymore. And I just think that would be super, super hard. So I'm not really going to go into all of the emotions and the different ways that people pass, but I just wanted to mention it, that I understand not everybody is in the same place when their loved one passes. Some are in shock. Some have been expecting it for a long time. Some are just grateful that their loved one is no longer suffering. But no matter what the circumstances, there then becomes this processing time of handling the estate, what do you do with their possessions, and then how do you process through your own feelings? And I believe I've mentioned on the podcast before, it seems like this takes about 5 years. Now, what I've noticed this last year, I've been working with a lot of people this last year who lost a spouse, but they called me a year after they lost the spouse. So they'd been through the first year, they made it through pretty well, and actually the second year is just so much harder. And so I've been thinking about this. Now, you all know I am not a psychologist or have any kind of social work degree. I just am all analytical. So take it all with a grain of salt. But what it seems to me is happening is the first year after they lose their spouse, these are all spouses, not parents. The first year after they lose their spouse, I think they're saying to themselves, okay, I can make it through this year. I could do this. This is the first time I have to do this alone. This is the first time I have to renew the car tags alone. First time I have to do Christmas alone. First time I have to go through my birthday alone. Like, and they're like, I could do this. I can make it. And everyone around them is saying, I know it's so hard this year, but we're with you. And I think they get to that second year and they're like, oh, I have to do this the rest of my life without them. I don't have to get through 1 year. I have to get through the rest of my life without them. I think that sets in. I think also people think, great, mom made it through the first year, or my sister made it through the first year. They're fine. And so I think it's a little bit more lonely the second year. It's a little bit more real the second year. And I think also you get this internal thinking of, well, I'm going to have to move on. Like, I'm going to have to create new traditions. I'm going to have to create new hobbies. I'm going to have to find new people to hang out with. And I just think it's really hard. I just think it's really hard. And the whole process, I think, takes about 5 years. Now, with all that background, we're going to talk about the stuff, which it is super hard. So like when my father passed away, my sister and I had the entire family home to deal with. Now, we didn't have a stuffed to the brim 35-year-old lived-in house worth of stuff because my mom had actually already taken her stuff a few years prior. So there wasn't as much in that house as there could have been. And my father is a neatnik and he would get rid of stuff regularly. With that said, there was still a tremendous amount of stuff in the house. There's just no way around it. When someone passes away, unless they're already in the memory unit at a nursing home, there's going to be a lot of possessions that are left behind. And next week, we're going to talk about your memories and what you're saving and what's important to you, because once you've been through this on this side with your spouse or your parents, you look around your own house and you start going, holy cow, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, somebody has got to take care of every single thing that is in this house. And here's what happens. We're constantly bringing stuff in our house, setting it down. We're going to get to it later. We're going to work on that project later. We're going to blah, 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 blah. And when you do get hit by a bus and your family members come in and they find your pile of junk mail, they're like, "Mom, touch this mail. We have to keep this mail." I know I'm kind of making fun of it, but you know it's true. Like, all of a sudden, every single thing that person ever touched, ever thought about, ever mentioned is put on a pedestal of this was their favorite thing. And for a lot of people, myself included, I remember walking into my father's house and going, how do you choose? Like, how do you choose what you want to take out of this house? How do you choose what you want to give to other family members? How do you choose what you just give away? What do you sell? How do you get the value out of it? This is your inheritance. This is your legacy. But it is just stuff. But it's all mixed together in your head with emotions, and then you add other people into it. I mean, like, whoa. So I'm going to give you an assignment today that's going to seem really weird, but it's something that I did the last year that my father was alive, and I've done with my grandmother, who's going to be 90 next month. She has routinely asked you, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And I'm going to help you answer that question of what do you want ahead of the time when you're in the crisis and someone has passed away. Now, it's just overwhelming to deal with a funeral, a home, selling a home, clearing it out, and all of the family members that go along with that. So if there's any way that you can have clarity on the few things that are the most important that you really want from family members or your spouse, that is super, super helpful. So I'm not going to talk about funerals or planning estates. So let's pretend that we fast forwarded 2 to 6 weeks after the funeral. Okay, so the person has passed away. You've done the obituary. You've done the funeral. You're either the executor or you are a sibling in this situation, and it is your spouse or your parent who has passed. I don't know how many siblings you have. When I was 13 and my father's father passed away, he was the oldest of 6 siblings. And I remember I was in charge of the grandchildren, which of course I loved because I was the oldest cousin and I was in charge of all the cousins, and I, you know, went to preschool town, like being the babysitter. I loved it. But I remember my dad and all his siblings were in the dining or the living room, and they kept shutting the doors. They had doors to this room, and they would go in there, and they were in there like all day. And he was there most of the week. Like, we were up and down. I wasn't there every day, but they were there most of the week. And I found out later what they were doing was the 6 of them were sitting in that room. A couple of years prior, my grandfather had sold his house to my aunt. And she still lives in the house today because he had built that house and she lived there with him while he was ill. And so the house didn't have to be sold, but all of Grandpa's possessions did have to be divided up. And at this point, I don't think there was that many possessions left, but I'm not really sure. So what they did is they went in a round robin based on age. So my dad was first. "Owen, what do you want?" And so he would say one thing he wanted, and then it went to the next sibling all the way around. And then after his youngest brother had picked something, it would be back to him. And so I imagine in their head, they were thinking about, okay, here are all the things in the house: furniture, clothes, money, jewelry, pictures, you know, all the things that there would be. And they went around in order of picking what they wanted. Now, my grandmother has told me another family did it differently, where everything in the home had a certain chip value, and you had a certain amount of chips, and you got to spend your chips. So, like, if you wanted the grandfather clock, you spent 100 chips on that. But if you wanted napkin rings, that was 1 chip, which, of course, I would love to organize that kind of a thing, but that seems like it would be kind of, I don't know, that would take a lot of time to organize. So I remember when my father passed away, we had some of the family memories. Like, we had this old violin, and we just had these Asian people, Korean statues, which Grandpa had gotten in the war. And I said to my aunt, you know, these are your, like, they're your father's stuff. It's not my father's stuff. It's my grandfather's stuff. And my aunt said to me, "No, your father picked those things. They're yours. When we were picking money and jewelry and whatever, he was picking these specific memories that he had of his father. They are his now. So they're yours if you want them." And for the most part, we did give them back to the siblings because these things that my father had picked of his father didn't have the meaning for us that they did for my father, and they did for his siblings. Like, his brothers and sisters totally remembered those Korean statues. To us, they were just kind of the creepy thing that were always in the living room, you know? So I was very cognizant during that whole time that we were going through my father's estate of what did I really want? What did my sister really want? And then what we didn't want, what could the family possibly want? So when you are in the position of someone passing away, I want you to take some time for yourself, go on a long walk, sit with a legal pad, drive for hours in your car where people can't get to you, and just think through every room in that house, the memories that you have with that person, and really think about what does that say to you? Who is that person? So when my grandfather passed away last year, he was 103 almost, I had already received what I wanted from my grandfather. I didn't get anything when he passed away. I didn't want anything. But when he turned like 85 or something, I started thinking, well, he's not going to live to a million. What do I want from my grandfather? And I actually had him make me a manger for our little China baby Jesus in our front hall. So he's like, you want me to make what? And he was a woodworker. He was an engineer. I said, a manger. I want you to make me a manger. And he did. He made me a manger. And nobody else has this manger. And it wasn't something that he had in his house that I got when he passed away. But when he made it for me, which is now 15 years ago, is when he made it for me for Christmas. So he would have been like 89 when he made it for me. I knew I was asking him to make me the thing that I would remember him for forever. And so when he passed away, I didn't need any of his stuff because I already had him in this manger. When I think about my great-grandmother, she passed away when I was in, I think the first year of college. She was 92, I think. And she had lived in this retirement community center most of the time that I knew her. And we would go up and we would spend the night with her. She sent the most creative stuff in the mail to college, like all this fun junk food. Like all the woman ever ate was junk food, which I loved. She loved to play cards, which I loved. And she let me organize her bathroom when I came up and stayed with her, which I loved. So to me, Grandma was like an eclectic nut. She just was. Oh, she was an odd bird. She's the one that I've talked about before that went to college. You know, in the late 1910s, and she got divorced during the Great Depression. She owned a floral shop. She was a teacher, an entrepreneur. She was an odd bird. I love her. She was an odd bird. So when she passed away, my grandma said, you can have anything you want in the apartment. What do you want? And I picked her button box. So I could have had any. My sister picked her secretary desk that had this cool bubble glass on the top. I picked a button box. So it does not have to be something of high value that you pick. What is that person to you? And to me, she had these clothes that had the weirdest buttons on them. And every time before she would get rid of clothes, she would cut all the buttons off. So I'm telling you, she's odd. And then I would play with those buttons and I would organize them. And my mom used to give me a button box when we went shopping and I would play with the buttons on the floor. If she was at a friend's house, I would sort them and play with them. Hey, if you have any kids playing with button boxes, they might be professional organizers when they grow up. So anyway, I wanted the buttons. And now the buttons are in this glass jar. I went and got a $5 jar and put them in there a couple years ago and took them out of the box. And now they sit in my family room. To me, that is Grandma. Now, 15 years later, my sister was getting rid of that secretary desk. And now I have the desk too, which I love because that's my grandma too. And I love that also. But I was happy with the button box. So think about, you know, with your grandparents, not necessarily your spouse or your parent, but your grandparents, when they pass away, what's one thing that you would like that would really mean a lot to you? I know when Greg's grandfather passed away, they didn't really ask him, but they sent him his Bible. And that was super cool because I had just gotten my father's Bible, also one of his Bibles when he passed away. He had more than one, so my sister and I both got one. And so now those two Bibles are in our living room. And that's just super cool to us to have those family member Bibles. That's something that we can have from them. Now, when you think about your spouse or you think about your parents, you're going to get more than one thing, and you're allowed to have more than one thing. And as a matter of fact, you can have it all if you want. You can move right into their house, sell your house, and have all of their possessions if you want to. That is your right. But I want you to think about if you could only have 10 things or if you could only have 20 things, what would be those most important things to you? they do not have to make logical sense for other people. The other thing along the lines with this that I want to mention is, in our case, I wanted to settle the estate by the end of the summer because I was a teacher when my father passed away, had two kids, and I knew I had some freedom in the summer, but I did not have the ability to come back up home, which was 4 hours away, the following year. We probably settled the estate too fast for my sister, to be honest. I mean, she probably needed a lot more time to settle the estate, but I just didn't have it. And so we had to sell the house, which meant we had to empty the house, which meant we had to make a lot of decisions in about 6 weeks. So you have to work with your siblings or whoever else is heir to this estate in the time frame of settling the estate. I know quite a few friends, a lot of people actually, that keep the family home for a full year while they decide what to do with it and slowly sell the things in that estate. And that is what you kind of have to figure out the timing, and then you can also figure out how you're going to organize things. I cannot remember if I mentioned this in the depression video or not, but how my sister and I did it was, I came up to the house, I stayed at the house for a week, and I would get up early in the morning, go into whatever room we were going to organize that day and decide, and pull everything out of the drawers and the cabinets that I could, and I knew what I wanted in that room. And then when my sister came, we just went clockwise around the room and we said, okay, the TV, the stereo, the pens, the chair, the lamp, the table, and we would look at each other and I would say, do you want it? And she would say yes or no. And I already knew if I did. Like, I had already made my decisions, but I think she was making her decisions more in the moment. I think there were some things she knew she wanted. And then there were things that I ended up taking that were not on my list for sure. Like, I had a whole 27-foot U-Haul, so don't think that I, like, took 10 things out of the family. No. My entire basement is the same as my childhood home. Like, you could walk in my basement, you see the furniture, the pictures, the lamps, everything. It's all down there. It's been 6 years. I really don't need most of that. But to be honest, it was nicer than what we had. So we got rid of what we had in order to have this nicer furniture in the basement. If we were moving tomorrow to a smaller place, some of it I would let go, some of it I would keep. But at this point, my husband and my son really love that basement. They don't go down there very often, but they really like that all my dad's stuff is down there. So it's not just you. You have to think about your family. If it's your father that you're losing, it affects your spouse and your kids too. And so think about what everybody wants in that situation. Okay, so we would go through the room. We would pick what we wanted, and then my sister would usually leave for the day. And then I, with whatever she had decided she wanted. So she was slowly taking the stuff over to her house. I would pack up what I wanted, and then we would know that, okay, the rest of this in the room is open for, you know, an estate sale or for his siblings or for us to donate. I had to make my decisions within a week and leave with the U-Haul, and then my sister had another month where she disseminated everything out of the family to the other family members and did the estate sale and all of that kind of stuff. I did not participate in that because I was far away. Now, the last thing I want to mention today is creative ideas of how you can save things from your parents, from your spouse, without saving all of it. So, for example, in our family, everyone has china. I don't know how many sets of china my grandma has, but I know my mom has like 3 or 4 sets of china. I personally have 2 formal sets of china and our everyday. Like, we're dish fiends. And my husband's mom has a whole bunch of china. And we're in a generation where we don't use china as much as we used to, right? Like, they're just, maybe you do, but we don't use china as much as we used to. But china is a really big thing in Greg's family and my family. So there's a professional organizer that I know that she's launching her business. I cannot wait until she does, where she takes like a piece of china, like let's say you have a broken cup or whatever, and she turns it into a charm for like a necklace or a bracelet. And I can totally see one day having one of these bracelets that has charms of all the different chinas from my grandmother, my mother, myself, Greg's mom, like on this bracelet. I would love a bracelet like that that I could wear that would have all the pieces of china and not have 12 different sets of complete china in my house, right? I also know that you could take ties, like my dad had a lot of ties. You could take ties and you could make pillows out of them or skirts out of them. You could take dress shirts and have little teddy bears made out of them. I had a client who had a whole bunch of dress shirts, and she gave them to someone, and they made this little patchwork teddy bear out of the dress shirts, and they took one of his ties and made a little tie on the teddy bear. And so she just has this little teddy bear in her bedroom that has all of her husband's shirts and a tie on it, which is really cool. My sister took my dad's golf shirts and made it into a table runner for my dining room table with all the logos, the crest logos of all the country clubs that he went to most often to play golf. And they put that into a table runner, which I have on our sideboard, which I really like. Of course, you know, I love to make photo albums. And most often, that's what we're called to do. I was just called to another client's house this week. Her mother had passed away unexpectedly 2 years ago. She's an only child. And so she has all the historical pictures. Her mother, her father, their parents, and their parents. And she wants it put into a historical album and then scanned so that all of these pictures are now in an album and not in boxes unlabeled. And she has to find out who a few people are before we could finish the project. So that's something that people do as well. As I was really thinking through today, doing this podcast and what order that it would flow in and how I would explain all of this to you, I was like, what is the overarching theme here? Like, what is the thing that I really want people to take away? Or why is this so hard? Why is it so hard to figure out what you want from an estate, to figure out how to organize it? Number one, I think it's hard because when you're in grief, you're just not thinking as clearly as you usually are. And I really think it takes about 5 years to see any of what you've been through in somewhat of a logical manner. But I was thinking about how blessed I was when I went through handling the estate with my sister and how well we got along during that process in going through our father's house. It's not an easy thing to do. And we really, really did a really good job getting along. I watch a lot of my friends who with their children or their siblings are going through their parents' house. It's stressful. It's hard. I mean, you have some great memories and you get to relive your childhood as you're going through the home and painting over your pink walls with a neutral color so you could sell the house. So you build additional memories with your spouse, but you're also your own adult. And so you have your own thoughts and ways you do things now, and you're no longer that child living in a house with that person anymore. And so your personality is a little different. And sometimes feathers can be ruffled and there could be some arguments, and it's just a process. And when I really thought back about it, I thought, what is it? I thought, you know what? People don't like change. And dealing with an estate and losing a spouse and losing a parent is change. It means that forever forward, your holidays will be different. Forever forward, your everyday life will be different because this person is gone. And not only do people not like change, but they really don't like change that they don't have control over. And you didn't have control over when your loved one passed away. Like, they just did, and it was not in your control. And so sometimes you could take that, well, I didn't have a choice on that, so I'm going to have a choice over this butter knife. I'm going to go to bat over this butter knife, and we are going to have it to the death argument because I want this butter knife, and you're not getting this butter knife because it's my butter knife, and it's really not the butter knife. It's the fact that you didn't have a choice over when your loved one passed away. You know, in my sister's case, she probably didn't have a choice in how quickly we settled the estate because she just logically knew I didn't have as much time as she did. And we didn't want to spend a lot of money on keeping up a house that we knew neither of us were going to live in. So you may not have a say on the timetable. There may be something you really wanted out of that house and you didn't get it, even though you took a whole bunch of other stuff. But that one thing you wanted, you didn't get, you know. It's so easy to know that you're not in control and be like, fine, I'm not in control over all of these other things, but this one little thing, this is what I'm going to be in control over. Okay, I just thought of a really funny story, and this is a good time for a funny story. When my dad was really sick, and or he had just passed away, I can't remember which one. You guys know my kids are on like a bazillion trillion medications. So I was going to Walgreens to pick up a prescription. And at that time, it was 2008, 2009, they were offering these $20 off your prescription coupons. And we fill 12 prescriptions a month. And I had the 20% off coupon. And I can't remember if it expired or what had happened, but they were not going to give me the $20 off of this coupon. And I was in the drive-thru line. And I was like, look up our account. We are frequent buyers. We are here all the time and you're not going to give me my $20. I lost it. That poor clerk. I lost it. I went hysterically nuts over this $20 coupon. And I remember driving away from that teller going, really, Lisa? Really? With everything that's going on with the kids, taking care of the house, taking care of the estate, your dad, the funeral, everything that you could keep it calm through all of that. But they deny you a $20 coupon and you lose your ever-loving mind. I mean, I lost it. And I was just like, wow, that is like not logical at all. But you have to have some kind of a release. Like all this is building up in you. And if you're like me, I'm the even keel one in my family. Like this one guy, oh, he explains it so well. He said, you're a thermostat or you're a thermometer. So if you just react to everything that happens to you, you're a thermometer. You're hot one minute, you're cold the next, you're up, you're down. You won the lottery, you lost everything. I mean, you're just up and down all the time. Or you could be a thermostat where you win the lottery. You're very excited, but you can maintain your control. Or the dog is stuck in the couch. Have I told you guys that story yet? The dog is completely stuck in the couch. You're not even sure if he's dead. And you're calmly going, that's okay. Let's cut open the couch. Let's get the dog out. Like I am the one that has learned over time to keep my emotions in check when you're in a stressful situation. Because if I start to escalate or decline, everyone around me and my family escalates or declines. So if I could keep as even as possible, then the chance of them not totally escalating or declining is better. And so I've really learned this balance. But eventually, you're going through a lot. Like you have got to let it out somewhere. And unfortunately for the Walgreens clerk, that's where I did. The poor person. So just keep that in mind as well. Darn. Okay, so you don't have... You don't like change, and you really don't like change that you don't have control over. So the one action step I'm going to leave you with, which is kind of weird, I really want you to think about the family members in your life that are still alive. They're probably totally healthy and not going to pass away for 150 years, okay? But if they do, what is 1, 2, 5, 10 things that you really want from them? Now, my grandmother has been asking me for like 20 years, what do I want from her? What do I want from her? So I've done the same thing. And I go, Grandma, I would really like that little tiny desk that's next to your couch. Well, she's already given me that now. Or I would really like, I went through her jewelry box and I really liked this ring she had that she never wore. She and Grandpa had bought it on their honeymoon. It was this opal ring. And she ended up giving it to me like, I don't know, 8 years ago, and I turned it into a slide for a necklace that I wear at Christmas time. Or I'm trying to think what else. She keeps saying, what else do you want? What? I'm like, okay, well, you keep giving me everything I ask for. A couple of Hummels she's already given me. And she's, you know, she's trying to figure out how can she, what do people want from her house? And how can she best leave her legacy to the people who really want it. She's very thoughtful, very purposeful. She doesn't want to just like divide and you get this. She wants you to get exactly what you want that would be most meaningful. So I know she's going to ask me next weekend when I see her. And the next thing is there's this little tiny box that she has that is hand painted with a picture of her dog and his mouth is open and you could see his tongue. It's this little tiny box. Very meaningful for her, very meaningful for me now that I have a dog and she loves dogs. I thought that'd be a really cool thing that I would like to have. Next week, I'm going to tell you about some of the things I have and how I am already preparing those for my children to know what things are most important for me. Obviously, you're going to live your life, so this isn't something you're going to do on a daily basis, but really thinking through what are the most important things that you're leaving behind for people. And if you have any questions, any suggestions, please email me at lisa@organize365.com or leave a comment over on organize365.com. I want to mention one more thing real quick before I leave. I have to thank you guys so much. You guys are reaching out to me. You're emailing me. You're finding the contact form on the blog, or you're going to Facebook and you're messaging me, or you're leaving a comment on the page about how much you like the podcast that I did about my depression story, or the phases and stages of life, or just generally how much you really like the advice that I'm giving in the podcast. It's making you laugh, it's making you cry, it's making you change your thoughts and making you take action. And I just really wanted to say, I replied to everybody, so anybody who's emailed me has already heard this, but I just want a minute to say thank you so much. Like, it is so exciting for me to be able to break down these organizational topics in a way that you can consume them and then implement them on your end. Even if you're not going through crisis right now, maybe you can help somebody who has lost a loved one, or maybe you'll remember some of these things when you are going through your own estate. I cannot thank you enough. And if you can figure out how, I'll be honest, it's really hard for me to do it too, to leave a rating for this podcast in iTunes, that would be awesome. Or just share, like when you're on Facebook, if you're in the Facebook group and you really like one of the podcasts or one of the posts, you know, I repost them often. Share it on your Facebook page or send it by message to somebody that you think might really help them. That would be awesome, because the more people that we can get to be thinking about their life in an organized way and really purposefully deciding what they're going to keep and what they're not going to keep is going to impact their children, their spouse, their parents, and generations. It's just going to impact so many people. I am so grateful for you. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. I love to hear from you. Please reach out to me and connect with me. And next week, I'm going to take you to task on what you're keeping in your own home. Have a great week. Own home. Have a great week.